Casper Citron from the Algonquin Hotel, a landmark on West 44th Street in New York City. Colin Higgins has written both a film and a book. It's called Harold and Maud. The film I haven't seen, but the book I've read. It's published by Lippincott. Is this one of those rare instances where the book came after the film, Colin?
That's right. I wrote the screenplay. As a matter of fact, it was my thesis at UCLA. And for a master's degree in filmmaking, and it was a screenplay. And then while they were making it into a film, I was making it into a novel. And the novel came out just after the shooting of the film.
Well, now, how does a thesis at UCLA get translated into a film that quickly?
Well, I had lived with the story for so long, and, you know, it took the genesis of the whole thing, it began with a... Harold and Maud was originally a 20-minute short script for a film that I was going to do as my thesis at UCLA. And then I decided that a short film, I'd made several short films before, and there's really no market in them, and when you make them, if you want to go into the film business, which I want to do, people sort of say, well, what have you got in mind for a feature? They look at your short films and they say, well, where's your feature? And so I thought, well, enough short films, I'll start writing a feature-length script. And so I took the story of Harold and Maud and made it into the feature-length script. And then, going to the novel, of course, it was there's so many differences between novels and screenplays, and you find things in the screenplay, like in the movie, like the chases where she's being chased by the cop, which is so funny in the film. They're not as funny in the book, you know, because, I mean, you can't say, the cop zoomed off and get the same same feeling that you
revved up the gears,
right,
and ran off in the motor. Yeah, but what I'm still trying to find out, how did you get from the script onto a produced movie? A lot of people write scripts.
Oh, I see. Well, that's an interesting story too. I was when I was going to UCLA, I needed a place to stay, and so I saw this advertisement for pool cleaner and tennis court sweeper in a large Bel Air estate. And so I answered this ad and...
pool cleaner, tennis sweeper.
And this turned out to be a big Hollywood producer called Edward Lewis. And I would drive his children to school in the morning and then go to class. And then again, I'd keep the pool and the tennis court clean. And for that, I'd get the chauffeur's quarters in the back, you know, for free. And that worked great. That was where I lived for I guess 3 years I was at
UCLA. Just slipped the script into his breakfast dish.
That's right.
Onto his breakfast dish.
I left it on the tennis court. No, I gave the script to Mrs. Lewis, and she...
That's a different approach.
Yes. And she liked it, and then they together got it to Paramount eventually. And Paramount, it was certainly one of the quickest things that Paramount's ever picked up. They bought it in about 24 hours. It was really amazing. They just snapped it up. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly it was going to be a film. And they, you know, immediately wanted Ruth Gordon to play
Maud.
Mm-hmm. And although there was at the time a lot of actresses that really wanted to play it, I just come down from meeting Eva Le Gallien, who is a big fan of the book, and she asked me when I came to New York to go and see her, and I just spent Sunday afternoon with her, which was just charming. And then the director, Hal Ashby, went to England and interviewed, Dame Gladys Cooper and Dame Kathleen Nesbitt and Edith Evans. And all of it was very flattering. Everybody wanted to do it. But Ruth was, I guess, right on from the beginning. And she does a fine, fantastic job in the film, that's for sure.
Well, I haven't seen the film, as I mentioned, but I'm sure that Ruth Gordon, it's made for her.
Yes,
for her,
yeah. Know. Yes, it's... She more or less is Maud in many ways, you know. She has that great zest for living, she's a writer too, and I'm always amazed at her discipline with getting up in the morning and doing two or three pages at 6:30, you know. She does a little writing every morning. Now she's working on a novel, you know. Mm-hmm. Just finished that Myself Among Others, and now she's working on a novel.
In Harold and Maud on the screen, are all these various faked-up suicide attempts, do they all come out on the screen?
Yes.
There must be kind of lurid.
Well, not so much lurid, because I think the first two, like the hanging and the bathroom.
That's the opening of the book, isn't it?
The hanging is the opening of the film, too. And people are a little surprised at that. You know, they I saw it again last night with the New York audience when it opened, and people really don't know how to handle it. And the second one, they don't know how to handle either. But by the third and fourth, they're well into it. And by the time that he's doing it for these computer date girls that come, they're in on the joke, and it just goes like wildfire. It's a delight to see. In fact, that's the big thrill of making or doing anything in the theater, is to hear people laugh. It's mm-hmm. it's just a turn on.
Well, without giving away all the plot, what happens is Harold's mother fixes him up with all these computer dates, and each time he fakes one of these suicides, of course, the girl is practically stopped in her tracks with a heart attack or something else.
Right,
yeah. And then when he tries this out on Maud, she practically says, "And so what else is new?"
Yes. Well, sort of the philosophy of the film, that he's, you know, very much in love with death, and she's... Or fascinated with death, I guess, you know. And she, on the reverse, is just thoroughly in full of life and fascinated by living and getting as much out of living as possible.
How old is he in the film and the book? 20-something, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 20 and she's 80.
80.
Yeah.
It was her 80th birthday, wasn't it?
Right, at the end of the book.
Mm-hmm. Do they actually have a scene in the film where they go off on the police motorcycle?
Yes, that's a famous shot. Yeah, with Ruth driving, hops on the motorcycle and drives off. It's very funny to see Ruth Gordon on a motorcycle.
She actually does it. It's not a double or anything.
No, she actually does it. They have this. Well, she was on it, and they shake it, but it was on a sled, and it was drawn.
Oh, you mean she didn't
her.
Really have to do the...
Oh, it would be very difficult for her to drive it, but it was even scary to drive that, to be on the back of that sled being pulled by a camera car. But she gets right into it, you know.
And what about Bud Cort's background, who plays Harold?
Well, Bud is a star. I guess his first film was MASH, and then went on to do Brewster McCloud, and the lead in that, and he's done several other Strawberry Statement. And
which role was he in MASH?
He was the young boy who gave the injection to a soldier, and one of the captains came along and berated him for giving him the wrong injection. He started to cry and mm-hmm. left the tent.
Well, Colin Higgins, you've really sort of started on the top. You wrote a thesis for your master's at
UCLA.
Your master's at UCLA
right.
In the filmmaking department,
right.
And the master's turns into a film and a book.
Right.
Wouldn't you call this sort of starting at the top?
I guess it is in many ways, and it's.
What do your classmates say?
My classmates are. We showed the film the first time for UCLA. I took it over and I showed it to them, you know. And it was funny. They really enjoyed the film. It was bravos. And then they have a tradition at UCLA. When you show a film, you go up and answer questions.
Defend it.
Defend it, right. And so I stood up for this whole auditorium, and most of them were my friends, but nobody would ask any questions. Nobody would say anything. Silent treatment. And later I saw them in the lobby. People were coming up and saying, "Wow, it's really a fine film, and says so much." And I said, "Well, why didn't you say a little more when I was up there making a complete fool of myself in total silence and desperately thinking of things to say?" But I think that they really enjoyed it, which was a big thrill for me.
Are you at all worried about what you can do as a follow-up?
Well, I have another script. What I'd like to do is direct the next film, you know. I think that's what I ultimately want to do. And so I have another script, and it's just about finished, and that's what I plan to do, is hopefully write the next one and direct it, you know, totally myself.
And the one after that you're going to write, direct, and star in.
Right. Yes, we're not never stopping.
I wanted to come back to the book itself. The as you say, he's fascinated by death, and she is so vibrant and so forth and so on. How do you picture the mother in this?
The mother, who is played in the film by Vivian Pickles, is just getting fantastic.
Oh, I remember Vivian Pickles. When I read that she was in it, I remember her when she was with the Phoenix Theater.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, she is just superb. And, well, it's a great character. I mean, it's that where Harold is committing these suicides, and
Giving him new Jaguars.
Yes, he gives him a new Jaguar, which he promptly turns into a mini hearse with his expertise. And she's just, I find her a very lovable character. I mean, I think she loves her son, but I don't think she has any idea of what he wants, or she wants to mold him in her way of what a son should be. And, I don't know. That's
why I like the part about the computer dates. Is this something you ever indulged in?
No, I'm sorry to say. Although the form that the mother gets is taken from an actual computer date. Well,
it must be ghastly, a computer date. Can you imagine?
I felt, you know, when I was writing it, I thought, now the best thing to do is
to do it.
Do it.
Try it.
Yeah. So I. But I never got enough courage to sort of get out
follow
and do
through.
It. Yeah, follow through. But I did you. I was mainly impressed. The whole idea came from reading one of these prospectuses, you know, where you have to fill out a questionnaire of about 50 questions. And many of the original questions are in the book.
I know you have a whole list of them.
And to me, they're riotous, you know. Should evolution be taught in our public schools? And, you know, yes, no. Maybe.
Maybe they should have a computer system that matches opposites instead of matches sameness.
That is not a bad idea.
In other words, if one answered yes, then you put that one with one who answered no on all these questions.
Right. So when they meet, there'd be instant friction and something might happen, you know, instead of sort of, we all agree on everything. We're perfectly matched.
How long did it take to make the film, Harold and Maude?
It took, the shooting schedule was 2 months. We shot it all up around San Francisco and South San Francisco. It's just beautiful, beautifully shot. But then I was writing the book right afterwards. So that took me about.
Does one call this adapting when you write a novel from
a
screenplay?
I guess you might call it adapting, but. I know that there's a certain resentment about it, you know, in sort of literary circles, it seems to me, you know, you should start off with a novel. But to me, I mean, the idea was always in my head, and that's what I put down on paper, and I wanted to get it right, you know, the way I had envisaged it, and of course the film is a conglomeration of a lot of people's talents, and this is just, you know, my version of the story.
Well, thank you very much, Colin Higgins, for talking to us about both the film and the book, Harold and Maude, published by Lippincott. This program was prepared with the assistance of Pan American World Airways. Caspar Citrin saying goodbye from the Algonquin Hotel in New York City.